This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Your official home to talk New York sports is WFAN. Call us anytime at 888-808-1019. The Fan, 1019 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 101. McMonagle here with you on The Fan, 888-808-1019. We're going to play back Steve Peichel sound in the post game. He was not happy. I was in the control room when Zoo heard him, and we had to hit the dump button after a brutal loss. And Jerry too. When I see Jerry, I got to tell him. You could just hear it in his voice how frustrated he was at the end of the game. A couple of foul calls that went against Rutgers. The great Jerry Recco. It is all. We got Recco calling the Rutgers games. We got Minko calling the St. John. I got to call Minko. I haven't spoke to Minko in too long now. I got to give him a call. Actually, maybe I'll see if we can get him on the show. I don't know if he stays up this late, but I'll see if I can get him on sometime during the day or something and play it back. Because as the St. John, we talked about this, St. John's are going to start to be the story. I've been here for a long time. I started my internship. The first day I walked into the building as, I guess, a pseudo-employee, although we didn't get paid back in those days, was January of 2007. So what I just hit, this is 2025, 18 years. I don't want to, what's the rest of the lyric? Found out it wasn't his, something like that, yeah. Okay. Are we allowed to still quote him, though? I don't know. So in 18 years being here, right, 2007, if you think about this, the Sweet 16, me and Fliegelman have talked about this on the air, the Sweet 16 is on opening day for the New York Yankees and the New York Mets. Opening day of baseball, Sweet 16 weekend. There's a chance they could play that Thursday night. You could have Yankees, Mets, St. John's in a Sweet 16 game. All on the same day. And I would come on at midnight or 2 a.m. or whatever time I'm coming on that day. Probably midnight because the games are all earlier. But I would come on at midnight, and the open to the show would not be Yankee on home opener. It would not be the Mets and the first game with Juan Soto. The open to the show and the biggest story in town would be St. John's in the Sweet 16. Not Juan Soto playing the Astros in Houston. It would be St. John's playing in the Sweet 16. That is unheard of. I've been doing this a long time, obviously mostly over there on the other side of the glass, but I've never been a part of a show that off of opening day baseball, with high expectations for both teams, the Mets just gave Juan Soto $750 million. Fox Sports has him as the biggest athlete in New York. They stole him from the Yankees, the big brother, little brother dynamic that's been going on. Every Met fan looking forward to this season, as anticipated a Met season as there's ever that I can ever remember. Right? The Yankees are still good. The Yankees are expected, they're expected to win the American League this year. That's the baseball season we're getting started. And St. John's could be a bigger story than starting the season for the, that's unheard of. I'm actually looking forward to it. Should be fun. Looking forward to the tournament. Me and my buddies are going to get together again on Friday. Now that my hours are like this, I have the Fridays open. For years, I was unable to do it. I do miss the pizza parties, though. I do miss the pizza parties Mike would have. The first day of the tournament every year, the Thursday, Mike would order. Like, this is when, you know, the station's just so different now. I don't know. I'm not around anymore during the day, but even when I was still working on Carton and Roberts and everything, I was in the middle of the day. Like, the feeling around the station, less people work here now. Like, there's less people work here now. Like, it's just a different vibe. It's a little bit different vibe. But back in the day, you know, 10 years ago, 10, 12 years ago, whenever it was, that was a big day. First day of the tournament, Mike would order 10 to 12 pies. Me and Mons would go down and get it. We would hide about half of them in the back room to make sure that there was some left for other people, because the engineer department, man, you bring out anything. You could order wings, and within a half hour, all the wings are gone, and the engineer department is eating all the celery and carrot sticks standing in the corner. Like, that's how it goes. So we would hide some pizza. Everybody would get some pizza. We'd watch the games. It was hardly like working. And then we'd come in. Mike, we would have access. I don't even know if they do this anymore. Maybe with St. John's they will. But we had access to the Westwood One calls, and we would pot up the games as the show was going along. You know, Mike would throw, oh, Duke, Michigan State. Duke's up 4 points with a minute and a half. Let's go to the Duke game. And we'd pot up, we'd have, you know, and he would go to the games and everything. It was just awesome. It was a great thing. We'd be in there eating pizza, games, everything. It's a different world. So, but for years I was doing that as opposed to being able to hang out with my friends. And also, I should get the audio. I'll get the audio next break. I forgot this. I want to get it. Adam Schein did a podcast with Marchand, who covers the media for The Athletic now, and he has a podcast. And he's had a bunch of WFNers on. I saw Boomer was one of the first podcasts he did with him. The architect, Chris Olivero, did a podcast with Marchand. So he's done a lot of, like, the sports radio stuff. And Adam Schein is on. And he told a story about meeting with Francesa. And it backed up a story I've been talking about forever. If you've listened to me, I've talked a lot about Mike promoting the lemon cake at Del Frisco Steakhouse. I've never had anything like it. You got to have the lemon cake. Where are you going? You taking her out? Take her to Del Frisco's. You got to get the lemon cake. He would say that all the time. And I've been joking about how much Mike talked about the lemon cake. I've been talking about that for years. And Adam Schein does a podcast and talks about a meeting he had with Mike at Del Frisco's and how he made him change his dessert order to get the lemon cake. And I was like, yes! Now everybody knows I'm telling the truth. Mike is obsessed with the Del Frisco's lemon cake. It's on record. Making people change their orders. No. Don't get the cheesecake. Don't get the New York style cheesecake, you maniac. You got to get the lemon cake. I'm not letting you leave this place until you have the lemon cake, okay? Tremendous. Love that lemon cake. And it was good. 888-808-1019. So, yeah, let's get to this Yankee thing I have here, because I've been hearing it a lot, and I've waited for a day that we have some time. I had a little more than 5.5 hours today. So I've been thinking about this for a while, because it said a lot, right? It's part of the George conversation. If George were here, this wouldn't happen. If George were here, Hal is not George's son. Right now, you know, there's no money left. John Heyman saying the Yankees don't have any money left to spend. And we all know we've been waiting for Marcus Stroman to get traded before they're willing to do anything. And the frustration of that. And the last caller mentioned that the team's come into the season a little bit incomplete and all this stuff. And, you know, the idea that they don't win anymore or they're not the Yankees. What happened to this once proud franchise? Like, I hear that a lot. And this is, you know, maybe why people call me a shill, because I think that question is silly, to be totally honest with you. And the thing that finally made me want to do it, and I'll give him a pop, because I think he does a good job. There's a guy, Chris, who has the Yankee Universe podcast. So if you're looking, there's a couple good ones, too. The Yankee, I'll give you the other podcast. The Yankee Files is another Yankee podcast that does a good job. He's a pro-Yankee fan just like me. Amazing. Yankee fans who are somewhat happy to be Yankee fans. It's a crazy prospect. It's a wild idea. It's a wild idea. But there are a few of us out there who actually enjoy being Yankee fans and don't think it's the worst part of our lives. Amazing, considering how much they win. I know, it's crazy. But Chris of the Yankee Universe podcast, who puts out a lot of videos and does a good job, he put out a video talking about this with the beard policy, about how his point is, well, it makes sense because the Yankees aren't the Yankees anymore, so why hold on to the Yankee tradition? Was kind of the gist of it. And I just... the Yankees are about winning to me, right? And if you want to look at the championships, and sure, listen, was there a time where they threw a ton of money at all the free agents? Sure. 1980s, they did it too. They brought in Ricky Henderson. They made the splash of Deion Sanders. They brought in Dave Winfield. They went out and signed every single free agent you could sign. It didn't win them a damn thing. And did they sign after the championship years? Did they go out and get Giambi and Sheffield and trade for Alex Rodriguez? And bring in, you know, and sign Johnny Damon and, you know, take the salary dump of Bobby Abreu and do everything they could and bring in every big-time free agent? Sure they did, I guess, yeah. They didn't win a lot of games. They didn't win a lot of championships either. And that's why, like, if we're going to say the Yankees are about championships and they're not the big bad Yankees anymore because they don't win championships, they've won one championship since 2001, so therefore they can't be the big bad Yankees. Like, I just find it ridiculous. Because if you go back, like, you know, the Yankees have won 27 championships. 20 of them, 20 of the 27 were before 1963. And if you take away that one dynastic group of players who won four championships in the five-year period, the Derek Jeter, Mariano Rivera, one person between the two of them didn't vote for them in the Hall of Fame. Like, that's how good they are. One's a unanimous Hall of Famer. The other one person didn't vote him in the Hall of Fame. That core of players, Bernie Williams, Paul O'Neill, Derek Jeter, Mariano Rivera, Jorge Posada, Andy Pettit. That group of players that were a special team, so special, we have not seen the likes of it since. We have not had a repeat championships 2020. If you take away those two teams, I mean, if you take away that team, like, from 1963 to 1996, they won two championships. 1963 to 1996, they won two championships. They were a disaster in the late 60s. They didn't win a damn thing in the 1980s. And in the early 1990s, George, who everybody clamors for today and everybody desires his son to be more like, was banished from baseball for digging up dirt on his star player. The entire Yankee universe and all of Yankee Stadium erupted in applause when he was banished from the game. I've seen the video. Watch the documentary on Peacock. They had Mel Hall bringing in his 16-year-old girlfriend, bringing in, you know, mountain lions and cougars into the clubhouse. They hired and fired the same manager about 13 different times. Like, when did anybody say in 1990 Like, when exactly were the Yankees not the Yankees anymore? Because if you want to talk about the if you want to talk about the Babe Ruth Yankees that won a bunch of championships, you want to talk about Joe DiMaggio winning five championships in a row, you want to talk about Yogi Berra having a ring for every finger, you want to talk about Mickey Mantle, that's a long time ago. From 1963 to 1996, they won two championships, 73, 83, 93, 33 years. Two championships in 77 and 78. That's it. But that wasn't the time frame to say they're not the Yankees anymore. It's the next, it's these 30 years where they've done nothing but have winning seasons, make the playoffs. Because, like, to me, I'm not saying it's good enough, but, like, the Yankees, to say that the Yankees are just like every other team, there's no difference. The Yankees are just like every other team. The Kansas City Royals have won as many championships since 2009 as the New York Yankees. If you think that the New York Yankees are just like the Kansas City Royals because they've each won one championship since 2009, we fundamentally disagree. Because they won that one championship, and then they went away into oblivion, while the Yankees continue to spend money and as the top one of the top three teams in baseball. And this isn't even an argument that the Yankees are still the Yankees, and that the Yankees are the big bad Yankees and the evil empire, or whatever you wanted to call them, in the late 90s, early 2000s. I agree. They're not that. But the point is they haven't been that for a long time. The big bad Yankees are built on winning championships. 20 of them happened before 1963. And they went long periods, longer than the one they have now, of being absolutely nowhere. And yes, even after the dynasty years, did Steinbrenner still go out and pay big free agents and didn't miss on anybody? Sure. He also didn't have revenue sharing. Because I'll tell you right now, I'm not going to pretend to know George Steinbrenner. I don't know George Steinbrenner. And I know he spent a lot of money and didn't treat it as a business. But I'll tell you this. Do you think George Steinbrenner would have loved playing payers to watch that money go into the pocket of the Tampa Bay Rays and watch them win 90 games? I guarantee you he would not have. He didn't have revenue sharing. He didn't have to pay for a building. And this isn't making excuses, because I've been getting on Hal for 2 weeks, more than that, for not fixing third base and not spending the money. I'm disappointed in the man right now. I am. The idea that nothing can be done until they trade Marcus Stroman is ridiculous, and I'm pissed about it. But the idea that, you know, they haven't won since 09, or they dropped the ball in the fifth inning, or that now they don't have a third baseman, and suddenly today, or right now, this is the time period where we make the declaration that the Yankees aren't the Yankees anymore. When were they? When were they this big bad team, other than building a dynasty the likes haven't been seen since? That was a special team, a special group. Everything worked. Again, they had holes on that team. They needed to bring up Shane Spencer in September to play left field because they didn't have one. They played most of that. You watch the replays of the no hitters and perfect games. It's Ricky Ledeay out there making a big play. Ricky Ledeay. How many games Ricky Ledeay played? How many games, you know, Chad Curtis played? There's always holes, even on the great teams. They had Derek Jeter. They had Paul O'Neill. They had Bernie Williams. They had great players who raised their game. It's a special team. That's why we love it so damn much. That's why we honor it and celebrate it. But then we're going to say, oh, we're not the big bad Yankees anymore. The Mets celebrate the same 86 team every stinking year. They find a way to make the 86 team an anniversary. It's the 33rd and a half anniversary of the 86 team. We play a playoff series against the aforementioned Kansas City Royals, And we're just like the Royals. We're just like everybody else. The Royals have won just as many championships as 09. We play the Kansas City Royals. They have to roll out George Brett over and over and over and over and over again. Like, sorry. I know they don't spend the money as they once did. I know they don't spend the same number of revenue as they once did under George. They also don't have the expenses they once did under George. They're keeping a less percentage of that money in their pocket than George did. It's still not enough. I need more championships. But this idea that they were once the great Yankees and look what's happened to them. Look what's happened to them. In the Boone era of the last 7 years that everybody hates and despises, and Boone's an idiot, right? In those years, half of the time he's won a division title, half of the time he's been to a AL championship series. And in my mind, one time he was given the best team in the American League and went to the World Series. So in a 7 year period, they have won divisions three times. They've been to four ALCSs and a World Series appearance. Name another team. Name another sport. Name like anything else where that is in a smashing success. And the idea that that's not good enough proves that the Yankees are still the Yankees. Because if we were just like everybody else, if we were every other organization, if we were no different than anybody else, then we would be pleased that the last 7 years have led to six postseason appearances, three division titles, three American League Championship Series, and a World Series. Every other team in baseball would gladly sign for it. So are they the big, bad Yankees of the past? No. That hasn't been around for a long time. That hasn't been around since they instituted the draft. And it wasn't just like, hey, you're a great player with the New York Yankees. Let's sign you. And then let's keep you forever because there's no free agency. That's when they were the big, bad Yankees. So are they the big, bad Yankees? No. Are they just like everybody else? If they were, then we would be a hell of a lot happier as a fan base. Because name another team that wouldn't be pleased with the success that they have had over the last handful of years. Like, name a football team that would be in three AFC championships and a Super Bowl run, and we'd be talking about how the hell could you extend the coach? They don't have a third baseman. They just lost their DH. Go get a freaking bat. Fair. This proud franchise is in the toilet? That's a tough one to swallow.
Your official home to talk New York sports is WFAN. Call us anytime at 888-808-1019. The Fan, 1019 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 127, McMonagle here with you on The Fan. We'll get to the Mets, we'll get to the Knicks as they're waiting for Mitchell Robinson to come back. That could be as soon as tonight, possibly. We'll play a little bit of sound from Jalen Brunson on the podcast, recognizing getting embarrassed by the best teams in the NBA is an issue. I mean, there's some guy, I heard Evan kind of dismiss it, or not dismiss it, but downplay it. I'm sorry. Those are big games. I know it doesn't mean they can't. It would be impossible. I wouldn't bet my life that the Knicks can't beat the Celtics. Is it impossible? But it's certainly unlikely. And I don't know how the hell you could feel confident about it or feel like enough is going to change between now and then after watching what's happened the last handful of times they've played. They're not even games. So we'll get to the Knicks as well. I want to get to the calls. They found the audio of the lemon cake. We'll play Adam Schein talking about the lemon cake in a little bit as well. 888-808-1019. Steve Peichel the head coach of Rutgers basketball, not happy after the game. A buzzer beater loss of a three-pointer to Michigan, so we'll get to that as well. Plenty of sound to play, a little bit of fun. We'll spin the wheel at 3 o'clock for the Jet quarterback. And we'll get into the New York top 10 athletes, according to Fox Sports, and my major problem with it. But first, let's get to your calls a little bit. Mark, all the way out in California. What's up, Mark?
What's going on?
What's up, buddy? How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing all right. Watching the Knicks almost get embarrassed last night versus...
That would have been... Thankfully, they didn't, but you're right. That would have been as bad a loss. That would have been the worst loss of the year.
Yeah. Pretty bad. And I mean, listen, we all know Cooper Flagg is going to be the number one pick in the draft. It's not even close, right? Mm-hmm. He's going to be number one in the draft. So Philly got closer to the Cooper Flagg pick. I still think a couple of teams like the Hornets, the Wizards, Utah are probably going to be, you know, for the top pick in the draft. In my personal opinion, mm-hmm. I think Utah's probably going to get the number one pick in the draft. Because, I mean, it's just weird how this league works.
It's a lottery.
Like, Utah was, yeah, but it's like, it's not. Like, the league kind of knows, not. In my opinion, like, who's... I mean, it is, right? But listen, the Spurs were bad for a really long time. And now all of a sudden, they just, like, is it a coincidence that they have Victor Wembanyama? Like, it's just, it's super strange. He's a French star.
They got to get the San Antonio market involved?
I mean, listen, Utah was good for a while, right? They had a great team. Mm-hmm. They faded away for a little bit. And now they need a star. And what better chance to take Cooper Flagg and put him in Utah, right? It's like, it would make sense. But for me, I mean, as the Knicks, it's like, you saw what Karl Anthony Towns did with Gobert in Minnesota, right? Everybody in the playoffs right now currently has a big rotation, right? Boston, you know, Oklahoma, mm-hmm. Cleveland all have a big rotation. So putting Mitchell back is going to be huge for these next 30 games because of the fact that it takes all the pressure off of Brunson. It allows them to do the pick and roll. It allows them to do a lot more with having a big spacing the floor for both guys because, I mean, I was reading today, which I don't know how much validity this has, but that the Knicks almost traded for Joel Embiid. Did you read that?
I didn't read it today, but I remember that story circulating at the beginning of last season. Yeah.
Which would have been a massive. I mean, it would have been great. Listen, if Knicks fans would have freaked out if we traded for Joel Embiid. They'd be like, oh, my God, we got Joel Embiid. But, like, the injuries are just.
No, now, looking back on it now, yeah, it would have been a disaster. But he is a great player. He's an unbelievable defensive player. Yeah, and we'll see if he can get that knee fixed. I don't know if he can, but we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird. But shift the topic because, you know, Yankees,
yes.
Mets, right? You know, I've been hearing a lot about this J.D. Martinez, which I've been floating out for a long time. Because when he was with the Dodgers, I loved him. When he was with the Mets, he had a very rocky season, but he still hit 16 homers. Mm-hmm. Still batted about .260, which is above average. He's 37 years old, right? But this Stanton news has just blown my mind.
Yeah, I don't even know what the Stanton news is.
Dude, I was talking to a buddy of mine like 2 weeks ago, and I was like, wouldn't it just suck if just Stanton just got injured? Like, because the dude's just always injured with these freak accidents. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And now all of a sudden, Boone today, the thing about the Yankees, man, if you watch Boone in his press conferences, mm-hmm. just in general, as a Yankee fan, Yankees don't give anything away.
No.
Like, they'll be like the timetable will say 6 weeks, and Cashman will say, oh, you know what, man, like, he'll be back in a couple weeks. And it's not. Like, he's not going to be back in a couple weeks.
Yeah, I mean,
Boone said nothing.
Yeah, I think the opposite with that now. I don't think they got burned on that maybe a while ago. They don't give any timetables. Like, they don't. They just
not.
I mean, they don't say, oh, he'll be back in a couple of weeks, and then it's 6 months. They say we'll see.
He's so vital to this team, though. He really is, because last year he was very streaky, but come like towards the end,
well,
he did turn it on.
So. And that's what they're hoping. I mean, whatever it is, as long as you know that's why you want the bat to replace him for now. But honestly, right. As long as Stanton is back by August or September, I'm cool with it, yeah. For the most part. Like that's what
they need from
him.
Ben Rice. I don't want Ben Rice anywhere near this team.
Why?
It's so dumb, dude. There's so many guys out there, and the fact that like what bugs me the most about this entire season mm-hmm. is the Alex Bregman. Like, that bugs the crap out of me because it's like, dude, listen, there were all these talks of, like, him going here, going there. I'm like, yes, keep him out of the American League East. Yeah. And then what is it happening? One day I wake up and I see Alex Bregman of Boston. I'm like, what in the world is going on here?
Yeah, I mean, we'll see how good he is. He's, you know, the short porch plays better, you know, in Boston than it does at Yankee Stadium for him. But we'll see. I didn't think the Yankees were ever in on him. I didn't necessarily want him. Yeah, I mean, I just don't know if he's worth $40 million a year. Like, you know, it's a lot.
And I mean,
he's making Judge money.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the thing is like, there was a lot of talks of, like, Christian Walker. He's good defensively. Bregman's very good defensively, right?
Yes.
But it's like, he's not.
He just won the Gold Glove.
He's not worth that type of contract.
No.
But the problem with, like, the Soto news is that, listen, cool, he went to the Mets. Congratulations. Yankees did not give him a bad deal at all.
No, they offered him
Yankees
a great contract.
Above and beyond.
No doubt.
What
above and beyond. 100%. They went above and beyond where I thought they'd go. No doubt.
I mean, I did not think Cashman would even go there.
Well, it's not Cashman.
You know what I mean?
That's a Hal deal. But yes, I agree. I didn't think Hal would go there.
But like, Cashman, I think, in my own opinion, are the Yankees better without Soto? I mean, they made a lot of moves that like addressed, like the Devin Williams move took me by surprise 100%.
Yeah,
I didn't think they were in on it.
Great trade.
And that was a fantastic trade, right?
Yeah.
And so the thing is, like, I think Cashman was just kind of like with the Yamamoto deal. It's just he kind of just like, he didn't like give up, but he's like, listen, we're just going to give the highest amount of money and see if the Mets are just not going to take the deal because they want to improve in other ways in their roster. And they didn't. They went like a couple bucks above. Everyone's talking about the amount of money that he's making. But to me, if you put Jasson Domínguez, who, by the way, I don't know what's up with him because it's not just this game that he just had against the Phillies today where he just dropped the ball again. But against Detroit, he dropped in the third, he dropped one in the fourth. Like, he's just
I'm going to push back on a little bit. He lost the ball in the sun. That could happen center. That could happen anywhere. He lost the ball in the sun the other day to Detroit. Then he had a bad one. I'll give you the bad one in Detroit. Did you watch that play yesterday? Because I don't know if I'd classify it as dropping the ball. That was a bullet hit into the left center field gap.
That
I would argue maybe a quarter of today's starting left fielders in Major League Baseball have an issue with or struggle with. Like, wasn't an easy play. He should have made it.
He got there, but
he's drifting a little bit as opposed to just running to the spot, but he's learning.
Right.
He's learning the position.
I go back to the 16 games he played.
He was terrible. He was terrible in the outfield. He dropped the ball in center too.
In 16 games.
Yeah.
I mean, seven errors in 16 games. I mean, listen, the guy undoubtedly has power from both sides of the plate and can hit all over the field, right? Just defensively, it's like we've seen a lot of these Yankee prospects come up, and I mean, me and you could probably name a lot. I can. Mm-hmm. That can hit, just can't do it defensively. And one of the biggest ones we saw was Clint Frazier. The guy can hit all over the place, has the tools, intangibles, everything to hit. But if you can't play the outfield, it makes you, like, not playable.
Yeah, I don't think there's any reason why he's going to be unplayable in the outfield. I really don't think so. Like, we forget. Like, it's just, like, I know he had a bad stretch. He was fine in center when he first came up in 2022. Or 2023, rather, excuse me. He was fine when he came up in 2023. He had a short-term thing in left field. Most of the balls he dropped were up against the wall in the corner. You know, he's getting used to it. I mean, you got to give him a chance. I mean, we forget, you know, Derek Jeter had a ton of errors in AAA. Didn't play particularly well in spring training his rookie year to the point where the Yankees were looking to make a move to trade. George Steinbrenner wanted to trade for a shortstop because he didn't want to play Derek Jeter to start the season. Who was it?
Was it not Omar Vizquel?
I don't think it was Omar Vizquel. It was someone like that. I don't think it was Omar Vizquel, but maybe it was. You can go back and look. But they were trying Tony Fernandez. I think that might have been it, not Omar Vizquel. But they were looking to trade for a shortstop to play instead of him. Because he didn't play well in spring training and didn't hit and made a bunch of errors at shortstop. They weren't sure he was going to be a good shortstop. Like, I'm not trying to compare him to Derek Jeter. I'm saying you got to take, like, and part of the reason me and Rami were talking about it as I went on my rant about the big bad Yankees, a major difference without question is between the 90s Yankees and this Yankees is they haven't been able to develop. That team developed Bernie Williams, Jorge Posada, Mariano Rivera, Derek Jeter, Andy Pettit, like all those guys came from the farm system. And the baby bombers here, the Yankees haven't been able to develop for a while. They've got Robinson Cano, they've got Aaron Judge. Now, to be fair, those are two big ones. I mean, go around Major League Baseball and tell me the teams that develop a lot more great players than the best hitter in the sport and Robinson Cano, if not for steroids and going to Seattle was on a track to be the greatest offensive second baseman in the history of the game. So those are two very good ones, but that's about it. And what's puzzling me about the big, like, so many of them hit and then fail. That's the thing that makes you, that blows your mind. Gleyber Torres is a two-time All-Star, hits 38 home runs in 2019. And I'll never forget, after that season, Ron Darling is doing the top players, that MLB show, top 100 players in the game. And he was on whatever number Gleyber was, and he was talking about Gleyber Torres, and he said, this is the next great young player in our sport. He's like, it's him, Ronald Acuna. Like, that was where he was. That's where Gleyber was. Who's better, Gleyber Torres or Aaron Judge? I remember producing a show for CMB, Maggie, Bart, and Chris Carlin, where that was the topic of the show. Who's the better player, Gleyber Torres or Aaron Judge? That conversation existed, and it wasn't like crazy. He was better in the postseason. He killed Minnesota. He won them game one against the Astros. He had 39 home runs that year. He was a good defensive second baseman. I mean, he was the top prospect in the game when he got traded to the Yankees. Like, that was Gleyber Torres' hit. He was two-time All-Star. He was going to be great. And then he faded and ultimately was still a good player for them and played well in this postseason, but not nearly what you thought. And I'm glad he's gone, unfortunately. Gary Sanchez came up in 2016 and was a revelation. He almost won Rookie of the Year, and he was called up in August. He had 16 home runs in 2 months. And he also was throwing people out. He was great in 2016. He's an All-Star in 2017. He's an All-Star in 2019. He hits 30 home runs. He's the premier power-hitting catcher in the sport for 3 years. And then he falls apart. Greg Bird in 2015 was unbelievable for them. He's like one of two hitters. Him and A-Rod are the only two guys to get a hit off of Dallas Keuchel in that wild card game. Everybody's telling you he's going to be the best hitter of the whole bunch of all these young prospects. He gets a foot injury, never to be heard from again. He's playing in Australia. Miguel Andujar, his rookie season, I mean, I believe, did he win Rookie of the Year? I think he did win. It was runner-up Rookie of the Year.
Otani won it.
Right. So he's runner-up rookie. You don't even count. And that's another thing. The Yankee, Ichiro can win Rookie of the Year. Otani can win Rookie of the Year. But Matsui was a veteran and didn't deserve to win Rookie of the Year. More Yankee complaints. But Miguel Andujar leads the team. He hits 300, drives in 90 runs. He leads the team in extra base hits and doubles. He's going to be their next. I mean, it's going to be Judge, Andujar, Torres, Sanchez. We're on our way. And then they all fail except for Judge at the major league level. Like, I don't know what. And it's not like they went, oh, we'll see what happens with Gleyber Torres. But it's not like Gary Sanchez left Aaron Boone and the New York Yankees and figured it out. It's not like Andujar can't stay on the A's. Clint Frazier went to the Cubs. He's out of baseball, I believe. It's not like they're this great talent that all they just needed to get out of the way of the New York Yankees. They just, I don't know what happened. Puzzling. And probably the most frustrating part of all of this, and the reason why they haven't won, because that was, I mean, they made decisions. Like, you got to understand. Like, everyone's going to scream now because they don't remember. Why the hell didn't they get Manny Machado? Because they had Miguel Andujar, who's young and inexpensive, and hit 300. And was going to be a good player for them. Like, it's just that a lot of the decision-making was like, hey, we have a lot of young stars. We're going to have to pay them to keep them. We're going to have to pay Gleyber a lot of money. We're going to have to pay Gary Sanchez a lot of money. We're going to have to pay Miguel Andujar. We're going to keep these guys. But I would still say that the Yankees, as much as I get on Hal Steinbrenner, for not completing that final piece. The idea that they never get a big free agent is just silly. It's just not true. Like, after the 2017, like, they never make that big move. In 2017, they were in the ALCS, went to game 7 against the Astros. And they turned around that offseason and traded for the NL MVP with 59 home runs and hit 270 in Giancarlo Stanton. He was a superstar. And don't tell me you knew he was going to break down. You didn't. There was some, hey, it's redundant to have him and Judge. I'll give you that. That was kind of a talking point. But he was the MVP. He was playing an excellent right field. He hit 59 home runs. They had no problem bringing on his $30 million a year. 2019, they go to the ALCS. They lose to the Houston Astros. They not only sign the best starting pitcher in the market, they steal him away from the Astros and pay him the biggest contract any professional pitcher's ever made. He got more starting pitcher than money than any starting pitcher's ever had, the biggest contract ever, to bring in Cole. And that doesn't work. They go pay Aaron Judge the biggest contract up until that time to secure him. Like, they spend big when they want, and they offered Soto $760 million, and he'd rather go somewhere else. You want to say, you know, that because they haven't won since 09, they're not the Yankees? Okay. I think you'd look at 1990 and tell me they weren't the Yankees, but nobody cares.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Remember that.
Your official home to talk New York sports is WFAN. Call us anytime at 888-808-1019. The Fan, 1019 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Steve McMonagle here with you on The Fan. All right, so here's the audio I was talking about with Adam Schein. So he was talking with Andrew Marchand on Andrew Marchand's podcast. And he was talking about a time where he had a meeting with Mike about possibly replacing Mike in the afternoons here on WFN. And he talked about a meeting he had at Del Frisco's. He also said, I don't know if this is in the cut or not, but he talked about how it was the same day as the Alex Rodriguez interview, which was one of the craziest days of my life. I can't believe it's that same day. What a wild day that was. Who knew Mike left that and went to Del Frisco's to meet with Sean? Maybe it was before. I don't know. But, yeah. But that was some day when Alex Rodriguez, off of a meeting with MLB, and stormed out and came right here. That was a crazy day. And, you know, we didn't want to tell the Yes Network in case they were unhappy about it or something. So it was like, because at that time, Mike was on Yes. And so I was like keeping a secret from the Yes Network. They're coming in. Mike's coming. A-Rod's coming in. He comes storming in. He's got a bunch of his team with him. The entire building, you know, comes out into the newsroom. That was like a big day. That was a big deal, that interview. I tell the story a lot. Now I'm getting sidetracked from the story. I'll get to this in a second. But I tell the story a lot. Alex came in, and we didn't have bottles of water, but we have the water machine. So we gave Alex like a cup of water. So A-Rod's drinking the cup of water during the interview. The interview ends. He walks out. As soon as he walks out, it was so awkward. Because he walked in, nobody was in the newsroom. He walks out. Every salesperson, the entire newsroom is filled with people watching on the screens in the newsroom, watching the interview, listening to the interview. So, like, I could see it, and I was walking out with him, and I could see Alex's face was like, what the hell? I walked in, there was, like, two people out here. Now, all of a sudden, the entire building is here. But he walks out, he leaves, and I'll never forget this. A salesperson comes into our control room, me and Monzo, and they say, hey. They look into the studio, and they go, is that the cup Alex was drinking from? Is that Alex's water? And we were like, yeah, that's where he was sitting. Do you mind if I take it? No, you want the cup he was drinking from? You want the cup of water that was? Yeah, do you mind if I take that? Go ahead. And they went in there and took the cup. I wonder if that went right in the garbage, if that's like prominently put up on a mantle in someone's house right now, the cup Alex Rodriguez drank from during Mike Francesa's interview. That's a weird one. But apparently the same day he was having thoughts about putting a plan together for who would replace him. And Adam Schein was apparently one of the people. But he talks about a meeting that he had at Del Frisco's. And the only reason why I play it is because, one, it's funny. And two, it backs up something I've been talking about forever. Mike loves the lemon cake at Del Frisco. So we got two cuts here, one explaining the interview and then one one explaining the meeting and then one having it. But this is Adam Schein on the Adam Marchand podcast.
I'm talking to Felix, who is the big maitre d' there, and Scott Gould, who I still keep in touch with, who's the GM. And we're, you know, shooting the for 5 minutes or whatever it is. I'm like, Adam, do you have a reservation? I'm like, I'm meeting Mike Francesa. He goes, you're the special guest? Mike told me. I'm like, great. He laid out a plan of how he wanted me to follow him. And I was like, this is a surreal conversation. And then he said, you know, you got to try the lemon cake. I was going to order the cheesecake. Adam, best lemon cake I've ever had. Only one you could ever have.
That is, it's not the best Mike Francesa impression, but that is definitely true. Mike loved talking about, I'm telling you. And I remember Mons and myself, both of us, him more than me, but I've had a couple conversations. I remember the name Felix calling and making reservations. That was Mike's meeting place. If he was having lunch or meeting with someone, call up Felix and get a table at Del Frisco's. I remember I was getting married. I was like, tonight I'm going out. I had a bachelor party in Montreal, but for the guys who couldn't come to Montreal, we're going out to dinner tonight in the city. He's like, you going to Del Frisco's? Got to have the lemon cake. Like, Mike, I know you've told me about the lemon cake 10 different times. Like, you said Del Frisco's, he said lemon cake. That was it. It was like Pavlov's dog. You said steakhouse, he said Del Frisco's. You said Del Frisco's, he said lemon cake. That was it. Got to have the lemon cake.
best lemon cake I've ever had.
It's so true. It's so true. He pushed that lemon cake, man. I still joke when I talk to moms, we still joke about the lemon cake. That is so funny. I can't believe that he did that, that was on his mind. That's how much Mike pushed it. I'm telling you that. He must have said it like 10 times at Shine to have that meeting. Think about that for a second. Like, obviously, he's had a great career, Shine. I'm just saying, like, to sit there and have Mike Francesa, who is, whatever your opinion of him, a pioneer and one of the great sports radio hosts of all time, if not the greatest, in my opinion, the greatest, certainly one of the greatest, and at what he did specifically, him and, you know, Mike and the Mad Dog revolutionized the team radio show that we know and come to love today. And you're having a meeting with him at Del Frisco's. You're the special honored guest, and he's breaking down the plan for you to take over for him. That's quite a surreal kind of lunch. As he put it, surreal. That's a surreal moment. And what does he remember from it? You got to have the lemon cake. I'm sure Mike said it 10 times to him. 888-808-1019. Brett in Inglewood. What's up, Brett?
What up, Chris? I'm actually in Indianapolis downtown now at the Combine. Yeah, figured why not. Take a couple of days here, check out what's going on. So,
okay, that sounds cool.
It's free. You know, I'm not that like, you know, it's a prohibitive cost or anything like that. Anyone could come, and it's pretty easy access to walk in.
It's free to walk in? You don't have a ticket or anything? You just walk into the building and watch?
Literally download the NFL One Pass app. You just and you have a barcode and you just walk in and watch.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it is fun. I went today for the defensive lineman, and honestly, it wasn't really all that fun. I think.
You are just watching them run around. I'm watching it now. They're picking up a towel in one hula hoop, and they're dropping it in the other hula hoop.
Literally, there's no footballs flying around. Not as fun. But I was actually just chilling in the lobby at this hotel where a lot of the, you know, teams.
Do they have any concession stands open in the building? Can you get a sandwich? Can you get a beer?
Yeah. I was drinking brews, hot dogs, whatever.
There you go.
I was trying to find some sources and get some news. I was in the lobby for a couple of hours, and it's just a who's who.
You gotta hit up the Starbucks. Apparently, that's where it all goes down.
I'm going tomorrow to Starbucks to get the deal there. But I saw Harbaugh. I was chilling with Dan Campbell when he got back from his dinner. I was just talking to him for a minute. He's a real nice guy. Ted Johnson guy in the draft.
Yeah.
Just a vibe out here. I had never really been to Indianapolis. Obviously, I would only come for this. But they do it well, and it's a real cute function over here.
Very cool. Anything, anybody, did you get any information out of those guys?
Nah, listen. I'm a nobody out here. Nobody's gonna give me any information. I gotta have to really dig. But you know, I was just gonna say about the draft stuff. I'm obviously glued in, but it's just crazy how the measurables of these guys is just take such premium over what they really did. You know, it's basically wash. The history, not wash, but kind of just take it with a grain of salt and really focus on the measurables, how they did in the three cone drill, how they did in the bench press. Because if you look back at the last couple of drafts, these metrics really matter.
No doubt. I mean, they lean on this stuff. It's crazy. You'll hear guys, this is the time of year where guys that nobody's talking about suddenly get ramped up because their broad jump was 11 feet. It's just, I don't know if I really care about it all that much. I don't think I would be the kind of GM that would make decisions based on that. Strongly, I would look at the tape more than that, but he did. You see how fast he picked up that towel in the one hula hoop and dropped it in the other hula hoop? If you could do that, you could run around Andrew Thomas easy. I think that's for sure. Have I ever told you did you hear Adam Schein? I know you go through all this sound. Did you see Adam Schein on the
lemon cake?
The lemon cake, yeah.
Yes.
Tremendous.
I actually just put it in not too long ago.
Oh, did you? Yeah.
Put it in the system.
No, the lemon, I tell you, man, I'm just, that's how much the guy always talked about lemon cake.
Best lemon cake I've ever had.
Yeah. he is literally in a meeting where Mike Francesa is laying out a plan for him to become the next WFAN afternoon drive host to follow Mike.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike has thought so much about him doing that role
mm-hmm.
that he's got a plan for him to take over in a time period, I'm sure, and whatever else. And what does he remember from the meeting? How much Mike pushed the lemon cake. I'm telling you, the guy never shut up about this lemon cake.
Which, let's throw it out there, though. Shine did say Mike was right. Best lemon cake I've ever had. I was going to get the cheesecake, and he was right.
No.
Best lemon cake I've ever had.
So
Mike was right.
Yeah, and I had it. I just said that I took, I went to Montreal for my bachelor party, but then I kind of just said, let's get dinner in the city for a couple of my buddies who couldn't, you know, go to Montreal. And he set it up. We got the table at Del Frisco's or whatever. And I had the lemon cake, and it was delicious, but, you know, it's lemon cake. It's not, you know.
I don't know.
McGonagall.
I don't know if I've ever had lemon cake.
It doesn't set the world on fire.
I feel like I need to go to Del Frisco's because I've never been, and to get the lemon cake.
Just to get the lemon cake. Yeah. No, you get a wedge salad and a lemon cake and get the hell out of there.
Do they have a spot? Can I just like stand in the corner and just have a piece of lemon cake and leave?
Yeah,
Am I allowed to do that?
They have a bar. I'm sure you can go there and get like a cocktail and a piece of lemon cake and leave.
Yeah.
But yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Certainly, like lemon cake on the go. I bet you could.
You think? Maybe put it in a bag for me. I'll eat it outside.
If you do it at the right time of day, if you call them at like as right at they open it, like 4 or 5 o'clock, and say, "Hey, look, I'm swinging by. Can I just pick up a piece of lemon cake?" Yeah, probably.
You think they go, "Is this Mike?"
Mike, stop calling us.
We'll give you a table. You can have the lemon cake after. Don't worry about it.
We're never giving you the recipe.
I'm not putting it in a brown paper bag for you. All right.
Gotta have the lemon cake. That's just so funny to me that of all the things that he talks about that meeting, he remembers I ordered the cheesecake and Mike made me change my dessert to the lemon cake. Like the guy was literally getting offered afternoon drives on WFAN. And that's
see,
when,
look at that though. Maybe Shine turned down the opportunity to do afternoon drive on WFAN, but could not say no to the lemon cake at Mike at the dinner.
Exactly.
Right. He could tell him, no, I'm not gonna follow you up with the fan.
Yeah.
But no, I gotta have the lemon cake. I gotta have the lemon cake.
That's funny.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omacid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omacid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.